God, that we may hear, that we may be able to listen, that we may be able to obey, that we may be inspired and empowered to enter into the reality of your word. Father, that your glory may shine through us, that your light may shine from us, that you would be glorified in all that we do and all that we say, and we ask it in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When I ask a question or I ask you to respond, you don't have to be shy in here. We're excited about the kingdom of God. We're not shy about it. And we're not ashamed of it. So in your response, I mean, you can, every response, if you want to just rear back and let your lungs give praise and glory to God, just rear back and give it a big old amen. Amen?
Yeah.
That's a little bit better. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
That we have the freedom to say, yes! Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Isn't that exciting? Now, if that bothers you, you got a problem with God. You don't have a problem with me. God is to be glorified with loud trumpets. You are looking at a trumpet. Amen? I have a letter that I'd like to read. And it's the Bishop's House, Roman Catholic Diocese of Belize, Post Office Box 616, Belize City, Belize, Central America. Pilate Convent Auditorium, February the 18th, 1994. I, Bishop Osmond Peter Martin, Diocesan Bishop of the Diocese of Belize City and Belmopan, do authorize you, Charlie Osborne, and your team from the Catholic School of Evangelization in Pensacola, Florida, USA, to establish in this said diocese a branch of your school of evangelization. I commission you and your team members to adhere to the magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church and to teach faithfully the moral and dogmatic doctrines and scriptural interpretations of the said institution and to pledge your loyalty to the Holy Father, Pope Paul II, Pope John Paul II, the successor of Peter, the apostolic, and the symbols of your unity in the Roman Catholic Church. May the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you in your ministry forever and ever. Amen. We just was installed on the 14th of February, about, what, a month ago, 3 weeks ago? And we already have, in Belize, we already have an office that's been given to us. We already have the director, the international director of the Good News Ministries has already been accepted and commissioned to head up the Good News Ministry in Central America. And we also have an assistant to the director. So that we've already got a staff down there of Belizeans that are already working for the purpose of evangelization in Belize City. One of the things that we'll do, one of the very first things that the bishop wants us to do, is to go through every single parish and conduct schools of evangelization. Every parish in the country of Belize is to be evangelized by this ministry. Church is international. This authority that Bishop has given us there allows us to be recognized anywhere. Anywhere. And we're very excited about that. We are very excited. In fact, I want to read to you another. This is from my boss. the Pope John Paul II. He's my boss. He's the guy that I'm in submission and in authority to. He's the one that God has chosen to teach me the proper interpretation of the Scripture so that I won't be off into error. Thank God that we have someone to teach us that we don't get off into error and lead a lot of people off into the blindness and the darkness of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to what he says. Pope John Paul II, in his annual letter to priests, calls the heart of their mission and urges clergy and laity to work together. The Pope underlined, and again, the difference between the common priesthood. Who are the common priesthood? Raise your hand and say, you are priests. Not some off the wall or some fakey type. You are priests. We are of the common priesthood through our baptism and through our confirmation. We are priests. Let's say it again.
We are priests.
This is according to my boss. Now, if you are a priest, folks, in this world, that puts us in the kingdom of God. You can't get no bigger than that. You're as high as you'll ever go. So then we don't have to be in competition with one another, seeking other people's work. Nobody can do the work that God's called me to do but me. So then I'm free to do my work because I am no longer in competition trying to get your job. You can't have my job. And I can't have your job. Amen.
Amen.
I can't convert you. You can't convert me. But we can sure love one another. And if we truly love one another, we will live the gospel, teach the gospel, and be in obedience and submission to the authority, love one another, and the kingdom of God will grow. It'll grow. Listen to what my boss says. The Pope marked Holy Thursday as the commemoration of the Last Supper with the annual letter to the church's 400,000 priests. The Pope's 3,500-word letter was released in English by the Vatican. In his letter, the Pope cited extensively the Second Vatican Council dogmatic constitution on the church and the degree of the ministry of the life of priests. He also told priests they should meditate upon their own vocation in light of their recent apostolic exhortation on the mission of the laity. Folks, we have a mission. And the problem that we are experiencing is not really a problem, but what we're going through is that the world and we have not been told what our mission is. It's not been clearly defined what our role is. And so we kind of live in a state of confusion. Working in the world, building ourselves a reputation in the world, when our reputation has already been given to us. Our mission has already been defined. We have been called. We have been chosen. We are a chosen people. Amen?
Amen.
And this is the mission of evangelization, the re-evangelization of the church. We're not going to work with Christ. We're going to work in Him. It's a big difference. Working in Christ, you have to die to yourself and let Him live. Amen?
Amen.
And if He's living in me, He loves His enemy. He does good to those that hate Him. He blesses those that cursed Him. He prayed for those that mistreated Him. That's the nature of God. And that's got to be the nature of the church. When they robbed his property, he didn't ask for it back. That's God's nature. It's the nature of the baptized and the confirmed. It is our nature. It is totally human if we believe that Jesus was divine and human. Anything that is not of the Lord Jesus is not human. Don't come up here and tell me, well, you know, I'm just a human being. Well, you are, and your humanity is that of Christ. It's not of the fallen nature. Amen. We've been baptized. We've been confirmed. Our nature is that of the Lord Jesus. So we treat others the way we would like to be treated. That's our nature. That's human nature. That's natural. It is unnatural to kill your enemy. It's unnatural. It is an unnatural act. It's unnatural not to turn the other cheek. It's not natural. Amen. While the ordained priesthood differs essentially and not only in degree from the common priesthood of the laity, the Pope told the priest, the lay faithful are those from among who each one of us has been chosen. Folks, if we don't have the lay faithful, how in the world can we have ministerial priests? If we don't know who we are, how in the world could they ever know who they are? If we're not inspired and fired and filled with the Holy Spirit, how from our ranks can we raise up ministerial priests to minister to us? You understand that? The priests have to come out of the baptized and the confirmed. They have to come out of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the community. They have to come out of the anointing of the laity. And if we're not living our lives, then how would they ever have the proper vision, the proper understanding, unless they're raised up from us? We have got to begin to live the life of Jesus. So when our wonderful offspring are called to the ministerial priesthood, they'll be inspired from within and not inspired from without. They will be inspired into service instead of inspired to competition. They will be inspired to the role of servant instead of political service. Amen. And we're talking about church, not talking about the world. Listen to what our Pope says. The Pope called the laity a spiritual seedbed of vocations. That's what we are. We're a seedbed, and we're growing. Amen. And out of this growth, God will pluck the religious, the ministerial priests, nuns, brothers, and Catholic evangelists. Amen. We're all evangelists. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I sure do love this. Priests must not conform to this world. Now, what kind of priest is here is he talking about? All the priests are just a certain segment of the priest. All. The priest must not conform to this world, yet must live amongst the people, the Pope says. He calls them brothers amongst brothers. Now, one of the things that we're kind of having growing pains here with, for some reason or other, God has put us right in the most difficult community to raise up a ministry. The most difficult. We have come into their community. And let me tell you that they are our brothers. And they are our sisters, and we have come into their community not to run them off, but for them to see the light of Almighty God in the brotherhood of this church, that they might join in with us. Amen.
Amen.
We're not allowed to come in and run off the community. We're only allowed to serve it. And that's very difficult sometimes. There's a lot of suffering that goes on when you do that. Because they'll take advantage of you. Oh, you people love us? Well, let me see how much you love us. Rip, 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 rip. A little more. Rip, 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 rip. And then when you get down to the point where they can't rip no more, they go rip, 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 rip. You say, how far do I have to go? Rip, 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 rip. Right to the cross. You got to be willing to die. And if you're not willing, you don't need to be baptized and confirmed. You don't need to be in this particular role. Our mission is to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, to be a holocaust, something consumed by God. Amen.
Amen.
So there's no fear. Priest, I've already read that. As pastors, the priest can perform this task, he said, but he must keep in mind that he is gathering the community together not around himself, but around Jesus Christ. We have to, as common priesthood, you know, folks, we're to teach our ministerial priest, you know, we're to teach them. Y'all know that? Are y'all talking to me anymore? You know what? They're looking at us. What are y'all doing? We're having a ball in Jesus. We're living out our baptism. We're living out our confirmation. We're living out this Spirit-filled life. We are heralders. We're proclaimers of the good news of God. Not only are we proclaimers, but we're living what we're preaching. We want to encourage you, brothers. We're all of one body, one mind, and one heart. We all have the same direction. We all carry the same faith, the same powerful implant of the Holy Spirit. We got a work to do. And you can't do my job. I can't do your job. But joined together, glory be to God, we can hit this world and leave it in shatters for Satan. We can bring this world to a relationship with God. In this generation, can you imagine 900 million Roman Catholics on fire with just the basic information that you've already got this week and you've only been here 2 days? Can you imagine what would happen to this world? Think about this. Think about what's already happened to you. I mean, you've only been here 2 days. Some of you already got whacked. Oh, wow, look at this. Whoa, boy, if I had this back in my parish. Well, you're going to take it back to them. They'll call you silly. What are you getting all excited about? This is the kingdom of God. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I've been baptized. Well, what's so great about that? Well, I can't get no bigger, no greater. Competition has been removed from my heart, and I'm here to serve. Oh, glory to God. And I'm going to love my enemy, do good to those that hate me. When you rob my property, I won't ask for it back. You won't have nothing long. Amen. But you'll be effective. You will bring forth good fruit, and your fruit will remain. It just will. Well, I want to tell you, when Pope John Paul II set aside 10 years for evangelization, that was no mere thing. That was a big thing. It's never been done that we know of in the history of the church, that a whole decade has been set aside for one point of interest. Evangelization must take place. Re-evangelization must happen, and I'm going to give you 10 years to do it. The decade of the 90s. We're going to usher in a whole new millennial on fire for God. And I might just be around to do that. I might, but if I ain't, it'll be all right. Amen. This is my boss talking. This gathering together of the Christian community is a continuous and cohort building up of the community, he said, and is here where cooperation is essential. Not competition, but what? The only way that we can cooperate is for you to know who you are. Know what you believe and know how you live. That eliminates competition. There you become a cooperator. Amen. Priests must recognize the gifts of the laity and allow them the freedom and the room for action. How many of you are blessed with that kind of action? A few. All of those here at St. Anthony, y'all see how we had a little healing service after Mass? We didn't plan that. Our wonderful brother Joe Dean was inspired. And the priest sit down and let brother Joe Dean have his inspiration because it was building the body. It was an encouragement to the community. We've got to be free like that, folks. The only way you can do it is to be loving, compassionate, and long-suffering. Because sometimes you'll get somebody that you don't think is quite capable of doing anything. You'll say, what in the world are they doing? Well, God said He'd use the simple, stupid things of this life to confound us that are smart. So when you find somebody like that, leave them alone. Amen. Amen. But they're disturbing the whole community. Not if you're in love, they're not. Not if you're patient. Not if you're kind, they're not disturbing anything. If you're loving, you can't be offended. Amen.
Amen.
Priests must recognize the gift of the laity and allow them the freedom and the room for action, he said. Pastors also know that they themselves are not meant to be Christ, to shoulder alone the entire salvation message of the church toward the world, he said. That's my job. That's his job, but it's also my job, and it's your job. It's the whole church's job. We are none excused from the work. Amen. We are all called, and each one of us plays a specific role in the mission of the church. Now, what I'd like to do is to go into an area of spirituality, and I'll be making a lot of references to this book this week because this is where I got it. Let me tell you a little story. 18 years ago, when I got just overrun by the Holy Spirit, Father Jim Smith, when he saw some of the things that I began to do, I would lay hands on people and they would be instantly healed. Wherever I went, people were physically healed instantly. I mean, it's not some lingering thing. I would lay hands on them and wham, it was done. And it was like miraculous. We'd walk up and down the hospital and people would get up out of their beds and go home, get discharged and go home. And it was something that was just, I don't know why I had that gift at that particular time, but it was an awesome thing. Cancers, big old borders, broken bones, head tumors, I mean stomach tumors. There was a club-footed baby, you know, just his back straightened, his club is... I mean, it was just something miraculous. And Father Smith said, my Lord, he said, God's really anointed you. Maybe you ought to be a deacon. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, we used to have him in the church a long time ago. He said, and the bishops from Vatican Council II are saying that we need to bring that gift back to the church because the diaconate is a gift. And he said, you, Charlie, are a gift to the church. He said, I want to recommend you to the bishop to be in the very first class in Pensacola, Florida. They're starting a school in September. I'd gotten baptized in the Spirit in February. And I said, that's me. I'm on my way. Because you see, most of my life, in my understanding of success, always came from me putting myself in a position to learn, to study, and I've got a position, and now I can have this position over you. That was always my understanding of service. In other words, I was taught that if I made enough money, got a big enough position, I would be respected and I would have authority. Well, I made millions in the restaurant business. I was appointed mayor of Warrington. I was a candidate for the county commissioner seat in 1976. I was doing all kinds of things, but nothing was fulfilling. And I never got the recognition that I wanted. I don't care what I got, how much money I got, there was never enough recognition. And so I was striving for recognition. And so I thought, going to the diaconate, then really I will be somebody. Y'all have to listen to me. Amen. I mean, when I come out to speak, bless God, sit down and shut up, because I'm fixing to preach. And you just have to listen, because I'm in charge. Amen. So I took off for the diaconate, and I studied, and I worked, and I was diligent, and I was patient and kind, and I long suffered, and I graduated. And I came back to the bishop for my final instructions before ordination, and the bishop looked at me, and he said, "Charlie, I have got bad news for you, and I've got good news for you." I said, "Oh boy, here we go." I've heard that joke before. And I kind of thought he was pulling my leg. He said, "I can't ordain you a deacon." I said, "Oh, stop it." He said, "You're not deacon material." I said, "Cut it out. You're joking with me." He said, "Charlie, you are not to be a deacon." I said, "What are you talking about? I just went through 3 years of your school." He said, "I know it." And he said, "You've had an impact on that school that nobody else has had." He said, every single candidate, there was 24 of us, I was the only reject. I was. There was 24 candidates. He said, every candidate had something to say about you. You affected everybody there, even the instructors. He said, "I have to leave you free to be an evangelist." I said, "A what?" He said, "An evangelist." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I don't know. You're the first one I've ever seen." And you know, I weren't laughing, I was crying. I was. I said, you see, I wanted to be somebody, and I figured that if I would get in there and compete with these candidates, I would come out on top. I would be the greatest deacon that ever walked this earth. They'd call me Deacon Charles. I did. A deacon is a ride. And now, in this process, in the diaconate, I physically gave away everything I own. I physically gave it away because I had finally found the thing that I want the most. I want a life in Jesus, and I am going to be Reverend Charles. I used to practice writing it. R-E-V. Oh, how beautiful. I'm finally something. I could wear my shawl. And I'm not poking. Folks, this was my attitude. This was me. And all of a sudden, I've been rejected by the bishop. I've given away everything. I'm left with nothing. I am the biggest fool in Pensacola. The biggest. This whole town was going, ha, 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 he, 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 ha, 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 ha. And I was going, God, I don't understand this. I thought you were for me, not against me. You done made me. You've embarrassed me. I've been reduced to nothing. I don't like it. When you're rejected by the bishop, I mean, folks, that's the final step. I mean, you're excommunicated for all practical purposes. I mean, when the bishop can't use you to be reverend, I mean, what are you? You got to be a dump, right? I mean, you got to be nobody, right? I'm nobody. I'm just a layman. Oh, woe is me.